Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Other stuff's kind of nasty, though. Oh, welcome to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. I was just checking Google Maps. It looks like the roads are quite good right now. It's for Labor Day weekend, other than 69 east of Lansing, everything else is all green. So on today's program, the personal property tax, it's got to go. That's what the Michigan business community says. I'll talk to an official from the Michigan Manufacturers Association about that. And it's Labor Day weekend, and when it comes to Lansing, the former iconic Fisher Body Plant more than anything represents the development of labor in the capital city. We'll go back in time to talk about what working there was like. But first, Lansing police may consider the matter resolved, but the family of 17-year-old Derenisha Clay, who was fatally shot by police earlier this year, filing a federal lawsuit today, claiming that the officer involved in the incident had a, quote, propensity for using deadly force against minorities. To talk about the latest developments, I'm joined by Melvin Jones. He's the pastor of Union Missionary Baptist Church here in Lansing, who's been involved in several community meetings on the shooting. Welcome to the program, Reverend Jones.
Thank you.
Or Pastor Jones, that is. Now, the surveillance footage from the bank that night shows at least some of what happened on the night of March 14th. Although, from what I saw, it didn't clearly show the shooting. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely it didn't, because there were no cameras available at that time in the area that the shooting occurred. So, no, there is no footage. I think what the footage does show, though, is that there was no real search of the bank itself. It almost indicates as if someone knew where the person was because it happened so quickly and so fast.
From what I saw, several officers entered, and it looked like they didn't identify where Derenisha was hiding initially. Is that how you saw the video also?
Yeah, but for them to go in and immediately jump the counter where Derenisha was later seen in the footage of the camera almost indicates that there may have been some notion of where the person was. Now, I have nothing to verify that with, but it's just kind of odd behavior to go right to where the person was that was later captured on film.
Now, the federal suit lists Officer Brian Rendon and the City of Lansing as defendants. It alleges gross negligence, battery, and civil rights violations, but does not include any specifics about this allegation of Rendon's propensity for deadly force. Where does that claim come from, then?
I'm not sure where that comes from. My involvement on this has clearly tried to distinguish it from a racial tragedy to a human tragedy, and that's how I have approached this. I mean, I think this young lady was brutally shot down, to be shot while she was on her knees, in the head and in the abdomen. It seems to be not understood how she could be aggressive or as aggressive to deserve that kind of brutal outcome while she's on her knees. And so it's that shooting that seems to magnify this case. I'm not pressing a racial piece on this.
Now, the officers say that there was actually a struggle with Derenisha while they were trying to handcuff her. She actually was resisting them at that point. Also, they ended up on the floor. And apparently, they say Clay was on her knees, and then she pulled out a steak knife from her coat, slashing and lunging at Rendon. He then drew his .45 caliber Glock and fired two shots. Do you believe, then, that there was, in fact, a physical struggle, or are you saying that that did not occur?
Well, I'm not dismissing the fact that there was probably a struggle, but when you look at the statements describing the young lady's behavior between Johnson and Rendon, these are the two police officers that were making an attempt to try and get this young lady under control. Johnson's statement reveals the fact that she was able, by some type of handlock procedure, to get the scissors out of Derenisha's hand. Johnson reports that Derenisha appeared to be ready to surrender. Now, this is different from Rendon's statement, who said she came from behind the door screaming, which indicated someone hysterical and out of control. What's really of concern in terms of the question is, when was Derenisha actually really taken down? Because in Rendon's statement, he mentions that he raised her up from her knees, which indicates that this young lady at one point was face down. Now, it's hard to understand how two police officers, especially an officer with Rendon's weight and his size, when one officer is on the right side and the other officer is on the left side, and this young lady weighs wet 120 pounds, why, with training, these officers could not get this young lady contained and handcuffed?
I'm talking to Pastor Melvin Jones of the Union Missionary Baptist Church here in Lansing. You know, one of the puzzling aspects, Pastor Jones, is that Derenisha was in the bank in the middle of the night or early morning. From the video, she appears to be a bit disoriented and she is hiding. What's your understanding of her likely state of mind?
That's difficult to discern. I can't really comment on that, but I would deduce that anyone that would break into a bank looking for money is not really in a good state of mind.
You know, one thing that many people feel when it comes to police officers is that there is an obligation to follow their orders or potentially face a situation that can quickly spiral into something dangerous for themselves or the officer. Isn't that something that needs to be considered when dealing with a police officer, that there needs to be a full compliance to their orders, or there could be a perceived danger at any given moment after that?
Well, I agree with that, but I think also there should be caution on the officer's part as well, because when you have a situation at 3 a.m., such as this situation was at the First of America Bank, and you have the property completely surrounded, so you're not talking about anyone's escape. It seems to indicate, when you walk into a situation like that with guns out, that type thing, you're looking almost for deadly confrontation. I mean, there are other approaches by policy that police can take for contained situations of that nature that have a priority for the survival of life and even the protection of the police person themselves, because, I mean, you never know what's waiting on you when you go into a situation of that nature.
That's in fact true. Now, we've got about 30 seconds here. What does the family of Derenisha Clay want at this point? Is it a civil decision against the city or a criminal prosecution of the officer involved in the shooting?
That I am not absolutely clear on. I did talk to Mary Rush, Derenisha's mother, earlier today, and she plans to be with us in our follow-up community meeting, which is happening September the 6th here at Union at 6 p.m. She will be here, and the community will also be assembling to raise questions with the police chief, with Stuart Dunnings, with those who did the investigation from MSP.
Understood.
And of course police chairperson also.
Understood. Pastor, I'm sorry we're out of time, but thank you so much for joining me. Pastor Melvin Jones from the Union Missionary Baptist Church here in Lansing. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.